Ah, welcome to Movie Magic.
We would be honored if you would join us.
5, 6, 8.
5, 1,000, 4, 1,000, 3, 1,000. I am the father.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Are you one of those single-tier people?
All the dogs in King's Landing howl through the night.
They cry out for their true queen.
I'm Batman.
Name's Bond. James Bond.
One of them leads to the castle at the center of the labyrinth, and the other one leads to certain death.
Go ahead. Make my day.
He sounds like quite a man.
A passenger has died on the train.
Who gave the order to kill me?
Movie Magic with Colin Gomez, Money FM 89.3.
Commence primary ignition.
Today on Movie Magic, I'm going to give you my take on the good, the bad, and the ugly Dracula movies that were ever made. Now, as you know, Dracula movies are about love, but some movies make them into parodies, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I kind of like some of them. So I'll call this list the ugly list, because you can still like or love something that is ugly, right? Dracula Dead and Loving It is a Mel Brooks movie, and like all Mel Brooks movies, it's corny and slapstick, but unlike his parody of Frankenstein, you know, Young Frankenstein, well, that was hilarious. And it has a cult following, you know, with people quoting lines from that movie till this very day. Dracula Dead and Loving It, well, not so much. I mean, it does have its funny moments, but it does not live up to Mel Brooks's Young Frankenstein. Dracula Bites the Big Apple is a short movie, only about 22 minutes long, is another parody about Dracula going to New York. It's a good thing that it didn't go on more than 22 minutes, as I don't think a parody like this could last longer. It has a musical number, and because it's a parody, it also breaks the fourth wall. Then there's Dracula and Son. Here's the premise. Son grows up with father, leaves to go to a big city in 1979, father follows and tries to survive as a vampire in the modern world. Son finds girl and decides not to be a vampire anymore. That's the gist of it. Now, this is light and sometimes amusing, but it can be a poorly plotted vampire parody. It has Christopher Lee in maybe his last Dracula role. There are some self-reflective scenes where Lee plays a vampire playing a vampire in a film within the film. So yeah, it is funny.
Movie Magic with Colin Gomez, Money FM 89.3.
The Return of Dracula was made in 1958, so don't expect a high production. However, Czechoslovakian Francis Lederer had the best accent for this role since Lugosi. It might be the first movie to show that vampires can't be photographed. Then there's the animated film Hotel Transylvania. Now, this is a Dracula movie for kids, but adults like it too, as it portrays an overly protective father. Now, I have a few friends who are very protective of their daughters, and I don't blame them. I would be like that too if I had a daughter, and I wish I had one. The funniest Dracula parody out there is when George Hamilton played the role in the movie Love at First Bite. I was in secondary school when this movie was released, and right after class, my friends and I walked from the old SGI at Bras Basah Road to Cathay Cinema. Oh, the good old days of SGI. Yes, we were located in the prime area in downtown. There was Capitol and Cathay located within walking distance, and we had a choice of inviting the girls from CHIJ and St. Anthony's Convent. Yes, those were the days. So back to this Love at First Bite movie. It's a hilarious movie about a vampire who reluctantly invades America after being evicted by the communists from his Romanian castle. I love one of his lines in this movie, which, like Young Frankenstein, is quoted by my friends, and it goes like this. Children of the night, shut up. Coming up, my take on the bad list of Dracula movies.
Thank you.
I'm Colin Gomez, and this is Movie Magic. That was taken from the 1979 movie titled Dracula. Unfortunately, that's the only thing I like about the movie, the soundtrack, as it is composed by one of my favorite composers, John Williams. Now, I bought the soundtrack right after I watched the movie. This time again, it was an after-school movie with my SGI khakis. Now, I probably kind of figured out why it failed. It's because it was released during the disco era, and this Dracula was a disco Dracula, and it wasn't a parody. It was supposed to be a serious movie. There were so many things wrong with this movie. Like, for example, a vampire's reflection appears in the water, while the same vampire and Dracula do not cast any reflection in mirrors. Plus, this movie can be a little sexist. Soundtrack was excellent, though. Dracula 2000 was released in the year 2000, and this is obviously an updated Dracula that focuses on youth culture. Specifically, Van Helsing's daughter. It made some bad alterations to Bram Stoker's original, and they butchered it. It features a young adult cast, mostly known for TV work, and contains blatant and repeated product placements for Virgin Records. The only thing good about this movie is the veteran Christopher Plummer. Yet, he couldn't save the movie. It had two sequels, though, and thank God they were direct-to-video. In 1966, there was a movie called Billy the Kid vs. Dracula. Now, here's the premise. Dracula travels to the American West. He wants a beautiful ranch owner in his next victim. His fiancée, outlaw Billy the Kid, finds out about it and rushes to save her. Now, the reason why I tried to watch this film is that I like Dracula and Western movies, and I thought, hey, what could go wrong if they put the two genres together? Well, everything is wrong with this movie. Like I said, I tried to watch it, and I didn't finish it. Now, Christopher Lee was known for his role as Dracula, but he had some bad Dracula movies. There are one or two hits which I will mention on my good list, but here are the misses. In 1966, Dracula, Prince of Darkness had a lot of graphic scenes back then, and I was kind of terrified. However, watching this movie again, well, it's not that very good. Dracula Has Risen from the Grave, released in 1968, is about what the title says. Okay, that's enough. This movie is annoying and looks very cheaply done. To sum it all, Dracula has a reflection. Then in 1970, Christopher Lee was in Count Dracula. The filmmakers tried to make it as close as the Bram Stoker's novel, but when you don't have a big budget, you'll fail. Don't get me wrong, there are some low-budget movies that are really fantastic, but this one isn't. Christopher Lee then teamed up with Peter Cushing. I mean, the two make a great pair in the Dracula series. Unfortunately, Dracula AD 1972 is about hippies that resurrect Dracula in the present 1972, and that about sums it up. Dracula was resurrected by a man named Johnny Alucard, which is Dracula spelled backward. How cheesy can that get, eh? Altogether, Christopher Lee acted in about, maybe about seven movies in total, if I'm not mistaken, and I haven't watched them all. But there's one that's on my good list, and I'll tell you about that in a bit. Meanwhile, there's one more movie in my bad list, and that is Dracula Untold, that was released in 2014. When I saw the poster, I thought it was a Batman movie. Watching the movie, it felt like a Batman Begins movie. A backstory of Dracula being a young prince who tries to defend his country, or kingdom I should say, that is being threatened by the Turks. Well, the concept of the story is not too bad. Maybe I should have put this movie on my ugly list instead, as you can still like something that is ugly, right? It feels like it was a one man versus the rest of the world as his family was being torn apart from him. So you may feel sorry for this man who turned into a monster. It's based on the characters of Bram Stoker's book, but it's not all that close to what the original Dracula story is all about. It's a cross of a superhero movie and a Rambo movie, but without the machine guns, of course. There is a potential of making this a sequel, as it has a powerful character, but I hope they don't. I like the soundtrack of Dracula Untold, as it was composed by Ramin Djawadi. You know, the German composer that did the soundtrack of Game of Thrones. But what's interesting is the song they use for the trailer. Remember the song, Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears? Well, if you slow the song down and give it a haunting feel by singing the lyrics like you mean it for a dark personality, then it'll sound very appropriate for a Dracula movie. And that's what Lord did. And it sounds so appropriate for the trailer.
Welcome to your life. There's no turning back. While we sleep, we will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world. My own desires. It's my own remorse. Help me to decide. Help me make the most of freedom and of pleasure.
Money FM 89.3 Movie Magic with Colin Gomez.
I don't normally read fiction, but I do once in a way reading the classics if I want to. Not that I don't like reading stories. I do, but most of the time, when I read a good story and it is made into a movie, somehow the movie does not live up to the expectation that I had when I read the story. I'm sure you felt the same way. And here's the reason. You see, when you read a story from a book, you picture a certain character or a certain scenery the way it is described by the author in your head. You are the director of the scenes that you see in your head from reading the story. Then when you watch a movie about a book that you have just read, it turns out to be disappointing as the director's vision is not the same as yours. Thus, you end up disliking it. However, there's one movie that is so close to Bram Stoker's Dracula that I liked it so much. That is the best Dracula movie that I've watched so far, and I'll tell you about that in just a while. So for now, I'm giving you my good list of Dracula movies. Here's my top five. At number five is the 1958 classic Horror of Dracula. It stars Peter Cushing as Van Helsing and Christopher Lee as Count Dracula. What can I say? This is a classic. At number four is another classic, this time from 1931, that's just titled Dracula. Cinematography is great in this one. Well, at number three, it's a 1922 movie, Nosferatu. Although it's an unauthorized adaptation of Bram Stoker's novel, and it's not about Count Dracula, but the vampire Count Orlok, I can't pass this as being one of the greatest. If you want to make a silent movie, watch this first. It's only 81 minutes long, and don't turn up the volume to full blast as nothing's going to happen. It's a silent movie. Shh. At number two is a series that I'm watching right now on Netflix. It's a BBC production, and it's from the producers and writers that gave us Sherlock. You know, the one starring Benedict Cumberbatch. And that means the writing is good. The first episode grips you, and it's quite close to Bram Stoker's Dracula. And I say quite close as, well, there's a nun, Sister Agatha, who, unlike her other nun sisters, is not afraid of Dracula. She is the one that is interviewing the lawyer, Jonathan Hawker, that visited Dracula at his castle, and she's getting the whole story of his encounter in the first episode. At the end of the first episode, she encounters Count Dracula herself, and her last name will be revealed. Don't worry, I'm not going to spoil it for you. And when you watch episode two, you'll be questioning and wondering why it doesn't seem like a continuation of the first. But I ask you, be patient, as all will be revealed midway through the second episode. There are only 3 episodes in this mini-series, but each episode is about an hour and a half long. So it's like watching a movie. Now, I don't like binge-watching as it takes the fun out of anticipating, so I won't say anything about the 3rd episode. And now for my number one Dracula movie of all time. It's a movie by Francis Ford Coppola, and it's titled Bram Stoker's Dracula. And it deserves the title as it's as close as it can get to the book. And I stress, as close as it can get. It has a stellar cast of Gary Oldman as Dracula, Anthony Hopkins as Van Helsing, Winona Ryder as Mina, and Keanu Reeves as the lawyer Jonathan Harker. And there you have it, my list of the good, the bad, and the ugly Dracula movies. I saved the best for last. I'm Colin Gomez. And the BBC version of Dracula that's on Netflix right now was my inspiration for this episode of Movie Magic. Right now, I'm going to reread my graphic novel of Batman versus Dracula. Until the next time, my friend, stay in the shade.